Bracci's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. House Minority Leader Themis Claridis. The state budget passed overwhelmingly yesterday in both the Senate and the House, veto-proof. Representative, good morning and welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Explain to our audience why this budget is good for Connecticut.
Well, it is good for Connecticut for a lot of reasons, and let me just preface that by saying this is not a perfect budget. This is not the budget, the Republican budget that passed in September, but it has more things in it than any budget has had as far as Republican initiatives. It has things in it that the Republicans have been fighting for decades in this state. It has a spending cap. It has a bond cap. It has a revenue cap. It has a volatility cap. It has significant municipal aid to towns and cities, which they've been begging for years. It has, finally, a change in prevailing wage. It has mandatory votes on all union contracts. It has a lot of reforms for cities and towns, besides the ones I mentioned. Those are all the things that it has done for the good. What it's also done for the good is it has stopped a state income tax increase, a state business tax increase, a state sales tax increase, a cell phone tax, a secondary home tax, a restaurant tax, an increased hotel tax, an attempt to broaden family medical leave, creation of a finance authority that had language in it that allowed a transportation authority, a quasi-public agency, to be able to impose taxes or fees. A separate agency that would have done that had we not been in the room negotiating. It does not put teacher retirement on cities and towns, which was the teacher's number one priority this year, and quite frankly, the governor's number one priority, and was in the Democrat budget that was up on the board in September. And it prevented full implementation, which was $20 million of funding union contracts for personal care assistance. That's the good part of it, which I think is a lot of good.
Let me just ask you about the union, and you mentioned that, and I think that probably is one of the important things. How is that going to work?
Which I'm not really sure. Which question you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about that you can go to the unions. You can, you know, they just are, it's not going to just be automatic like it has been in the past.
It's going to be a vote in the legislature on these contracts.
I'm sorry. Well, as you know, in the past, when there is a negotiated contract with any state employee union, they negotiate with the governor's office. And when that contract has come to a deal, we can bring those contracts to a vote on the floor of the House and the Senate, but you don't have to. So in the language presently, we can bring them to the floor, but doesn't have to go onto the floor of the House and the Senate. And if it is not voted on by the House and the Senate within 30 days, it automatically goes into effect. And I have been in the legislature for 19 years, and I never voted on a union contract until CBAC this year, ever. So they even though it's in law, it's not mandatory. Now it will be mandatory. Every union contract we must vote on, which, as you know, is something Republicans have been fighting for decades. Every year when we start a session, we try and put a rule change in. We've put it in budgets before as policy changes, and they couldn't care less. And the difference this year, guys, is the Senate is tied, although the lieutenant governor breaks those ties, and the House is four away for majority as far as votes. That has been the difference this year and last year, and that's why it's so important to elect majorities in the House and the Senate.
Now, does this budget get held up if the environmental groups sue the state, which they claim they're going to do because it does sweep green funds out of our utility bills and puts it into the general fund?
As far, you know, when you ask me what the good part of this budget was, there's also a bad part. As you know, there's no such perfect document, and there's always things you don't like about it. And one of the things that I personally, I'm speaking for myself, didn't like about it was taking some money from the conservation fund. I've felt very strongly in the House Republican budget. We did not take $1 from them in the budget, the bipartisan Republican budget that passed in September. We did not take $1 out of them. But unfortunately, by the end of the negotiations, the last couple of days, when we had to make the very difficult decisions, some money had to be taken out of there. But we made sure that there were significant balances left in these funds. One of them was cut 27%, so it certainly wasn't cut completely. And the other one was cut half. In fact, the night before we voted on the budget, the leaders met and we added more money to the Green Bank after significant conversations with the people from Green Bank, because we didn't realize, based on our Office of Fiscal Analysis, and because Green Bank is kind of a different fund because it does venture capital work, in a sense, there was no money left, which was opposite of what we were told by our Office of Fiscal Analysis in the building.
Now, the property tax on motor vehicles, the threshold is going to be increased to 45 mils, is that correct?
Well, first of all, as you remember last week, the initial proposal was a possible elimination of the car tax. Towns and cities were very unhappy with that, and I agree with the fact that you're catching towns and cities in midstream for such a major change. So what we did was, as you know, right now there's a mill rate cap on each town and city. So if you have a mill rate above 37, for example, anything over that, you will be capped in your towns. So you will only pay 37 mill rate on your towns, but the state of Connecticut will reimburse the town for the rest. For example, if your mill rate's 40, so that a mill rate difference in state reimburses. Now we moved it up to 39, because remember, guys, the Republicans' budget eliminated all of that, MRSA account. In the second year, in this budget, it's up to 45, and there's only 8 towns that are over 45 mill rate. But what we know for a fact is we have to reform that car tax and how it works. So the leaders are committed to, between now and May, when session is over next year, to sitting down together and trying to find a substantive reform to car tax.
What about this $1 billion error the governor is talking about on the hospital tax?
Well, as you remember, yesterday we started session at 10 o'clock to debate the budget, and we got that email. I don't even know what time, because clearly, as you can imagine, it's frantic before we call a budget. But at some point yesterday morning, the governor sent out that email. Now, I don't know what his purpose for doing it was or was not, but we told everybody that clearly, if there is a mistake in the drafting of that bill and it puts any funding the hospital get at risk, we will do whatever we need to do to fix it. If we need to come into session next week to do language to fix it, or the week after, we will do so. We are firmly committed, and that is another positive in this budget, that hospitals are going to get their funding again. If you remember, the hospitals are suing the state of Connecticut basically because the governor has held back their funding year after year after year. So there's that lawsuit as part of this conversation, and then there's the fact that hospitals get quarterly funding by this hospital tax, which is not a Connecticut hospital tax, but it is, they agreed to pay an extra tax so we can send it down to Washington and then get reimbursed. That is what the hospitals wanted. That's why we put that in there. But now the governor is saying, I want to keep my leverage in negotiating this lawsuit, so I will not agree to give the hospitals their funding yet again. So what he's being sued for, he's continuing to do. And I will say the legislature are the only people in that building that have ever been supportive of the hospitals. We have a great relationship with them. We've been in constant contact with them. There's a meeting this morning at 11 with the governor's office and legislative leaders and our staff to figure out if, in fact, there is a problem with that language. And if it is, we will fix it.
Okay. So, again, the budget is done. And from what you say, and some of our other guests have said, that it's going to work and be better for all of us. And all we have to do is wait and see.
Well, I'm going to say this, Brad. The budget that I preferred was the budget that the House and Senate passed on September 15th. We believe that was the best budget to move the state of Connecticut forward. We begged the governor not to veto it. He did. We begged the legislature to override it. They refused. They did not have the courage to override it. So unfortunately, I know a lot of people wanted us to fold our arms, dig our heels in, and say, we won't do anything. You cause this problem, you fix it. That is certainly one way of looking at this, and I have to be honest, I thought of it. I thought of it and tried to decide how we should proceed with all this. But when I look at the fact that the governor has been operating the state by executive order since July 1st, that executive order gives 88 towns and cities zero funding. It cuts 54 additional towns and cities between 22 and 66%. That will continue until we have a budget. And I believe in my heart that the governor would be more than happy to continue by executive order month to month from now until he leaves office if we didn't get a budget. So although my choice would be our budget that passed, that he vetoed, and the Democrats refused to override, I have to deal with the reality of this state is. And I will be damned if I would allow this governor to hurt cities, towns, children, adults, parents, elderly, social services, disabled population before I let him do that. And that's why we continued with the compromise. Now, at the end of the day, we didn't believe, Senator Fasano and I, that there was enough structural change in this and there was enough good in it. We certainly wouldn't have made this deal. But as I mentioned earlier, all those things are things Republicans and conservatives have been fighting for in this state for decades. And nobody ever thought you'd hear a Republican leader in this state say, we got a spending cap, we got a bonding cap, we got mandatory votes on contracts, and the list goes on.
We're running out of time, but now we've got a budget. Are you running for governor?
Well, I'm leader of the House Republicans. Now that this budget is over, I said all along that when the budget was done, I would make my decision. I need to have a few days rest, and then we can move forward.
Okay. Representative, always a pleasure.
Thank
Thanks for spending some time with us.
Very much.
Thank
very
you,
much.
Guys.
Take care.
You bet.
Wow.